Welcome to McGuire on Wrestling.
What do you guys want to talk about?
Let's give the people what they want. Professional wrestling.
With Mike McGuire.
The happiest Canadian camper in the world.
Tell me when I'm telling lies.
Give me a hell yeah.
Hello, welcome to episode 52 of McGuire on Wrestling. If you do the math, that means we've been doing this for at least a year together now. Actually, a little longer, because I did take some Christmas time off, and I took my birthday off, but then we did a WrestleMania thing. So really, I mean, between this show, the alternate commentary table, and other shows that have come on to the podcast over the last year or so, I think we're doing pretty good. I think we're doing all right. So thank you for being here, as always. And I know I say that every show, but I mean it every show. A long time ago, when I was doing radio, I heard a guy I worked with all the time, and he would say it, and I was always like, man, why do you always say that? He's like, because I mean it. And I've heard other people who do this, who will perpetually thank people on shows, and for some reason it comes off insincere, because I think they think it's just a nice thing to say, but I really mean it. Trust me, I would not be doing this for a year straight now, plus not expecting anything other than, you know, the occasional follow on a Facebook page, or if you want to buy a t-shirt or something, cool, great, but I would not be doing it if I wasn't appreciative of you. And we'll talk about that a little bit coming up here. Some really cool comments came in on the Team MOW McGuire and Wrestling Facebook page. But if this is your first time here, because I always have to assume there's new people finding the show, because the numbers seem to indicate that. Thank you for being here. This show is always free, always about pro wrestling. There is no Patreon. There is no subscription fee to be a part of this. It's just you and us talking about wrestling. And when I say us, it's myself, it's Mitch and Dimitri, it's my buddy Joe Aguinaldo, Dan the Mouth of Fransky stops by, tons of guests that come in throughout the weeks. Dave Meltzer is here, and I want to give a heads up here, just a little update. I'm not going to go into it much right now, because I want him to be able to tell the story when he wants to, but a guy who we welcomed to the team a little while ago has needed some time off, and no harm, no foul. We still talk all the time. In fact, we were talking just yesterday. The one and only Andy Evans. We were talking about him and coming back to the pod soon. And I'm telling you this in the hopes that you don't go to him and be like, oh, Andy, what's wrong? What's wrong? Because he doesn't need that either. I'm here to tell you what's going on, basically, without telling you, because, you know, frankly, it's his decision how much he wants to share. But Andy needed some time away, and he's been talking about coming back. So whenever he's ready, we got the spot for him right here. As for you, you've always got a spot here. All you got to do is download the show. If you subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, that takes care of it automatically. It's in your phone, your podcatcher, wherever you catch your shows. Every single week, it's there for you. If you'd like to support the show just by being a part of the conversation, okay? No money required here. Find us on Facebook, Team MOW, McGuire on Wrestling. Join that group. We get you in, and you can meet a bunch of like-minded fans who are really cool to each other, like really super civil with each other, which, let's face it, in wrestling social media, I think that's a rare find, a rare treat to enjoy, where you can actually discuss, agree, disagree, whatever. I've only had to slap hands once in this entire year of having this page up, and it wasn't really even a slap hand. It was just more like a, hey, we don't do that here. You want to go fight on the internet about wrestling? Go anywhere else. You want to talk about wrestling? Come on over. That's what we're here for. Also, if you want to reach out to me directly, real easy to do, McGuireShow@yahoo.com or McGuireShow on all the social channels that matter. So for me, that is TikTok, believe it or not. For those of you in the States, I know that's a bit of a sore subject right now. Also Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter X, whatever you want to call it. I'm there too. But find me at McGuire Show. I don't use the X that much. Probably Insta and Facebook are still my favorites because I am an old man. I don't know. But it's the easiest way to get hold of me. Or you can email me directly, McGuireShow@yahoo.com. Coming up this week on episode 52 of McGuire on Wrestling, Tony Khan, in 1 week, manages to become the most sympathetic heel in just a couple of days. WWE heads to France this weekend for Backlash. AEW returns to Winnipeg next week with Kenny Omega. CM Punk made a surprise appearance a couple nights ago. We'll tell you what he had to say. Plus, as we are knee-deep in the WWE draft, We're going to get your thoughts on a rather uninteresting day one. Plus, Dave Meltzer is here, and we'll go over some of the big stories of the week. But first, let's take you through the headlines. This is the Five Count.
You want to hear the breaking news?
Vince McMahon's remaining TKO stock is now on the market, which means once sold, he is officially no longer any part of the ownership structure of WWE in any way whatsoever. Now, this news actually made headlines a while ago. We knew the stock was going up for sale, and technically it's now out there. What also caught the attention of some people, though, including folks on our Team MOW, McGuire on Wrestling Facebook page, thank you for that, is that current WWE president Nick Khan's shares are also up for sale. Now, as he does, Brandon Thurston over at WrestleNomics has addressed the story, noting that Khan's shares have actually been up for some time. I think he said it since last September. Thurston also brought up the fact that Nick Khan's contract with WWE is set to expire this August, so the real interest will be in whether or not he signs a new deal to remain in control of the company. Can you imagine with the stuff that he's done with WWE alone in the last few years? I mean, what job do they give him? Do they keep him there? Do they bring him over to UFC and have him work his magic there? I don't know. But it is a fascinating story and well worth checking out Brandon Thurston's work on it so far. In a post on Instagram that went up late last night, The Rock congratulated Drew McIntyre on re-signing with WWE. Now, we don't know exactly what the terms are yet, although apparently a large sword was part of the deal, because in the video, it was Drew McIntyre and his family, I believe sitting at a restaurant or somewhere, and someone walked up with a note and his large claymore sword. So I'm not sure if this is the same one that was used on television. I mean, there's so many questions to ask about this, but one thing was for sure was that Drew McIntyre, until that moment, had been unsigned for a return to WWE. There was talks about money being in different directions from both sides, but Drew McIntyre definitely upping his real estate value in the company. We'll see if we have any details as the show goes on. Have you checked out WWE Speed on X yet? It's an interesting concept. They've been running 3-minute matches now for a few weeks on the former Twitter, and there is a championship in the series of 3-minute matches. Spoiler alert, I'm going to tell you now that the first champion has been crowned. It happened this past Friday at SmackDown, Ricochet becoming the first ever Speed champion, defeating Johnny Gargano by pinfall. It's not certain if the championship is going to be recognized on main WWE TV shows. The folks over at Fightful Select have checked in on Cody Rhodes since Friday's SmackDown. If you were watching the show, Cody faced new draftee Carmelo Hayes in the main event. During that match, Cody missed a Cody Cutter and landed on his shoulder awkwardly. Rhodes would then go on to sell the shoulder during and after the match. I was actually in our SmackDown discussion on the Facebook page saying, man, I hope he's just overselling that thing. Anyway, there has been some concern from other fans out there that Cody may be injured going into next week, but Fightful reached out to him and got the reply that he's doing fine. So we'll just wait and see what that means for the American Nightmare. Speaking of shoulders, there's been some reports out that MJF may have undergone surgery already to repair his shoulder after unsuccessful physio. Of course, MJF has been out of AEW for some time now on injury, but there's been no talk about his progress as of late, sending nothing but a speedy recovery out to everybody's favorite scumbag. Well, coming up, Dave Meltzer and I are going to go through the week awkward and not awkward moments aside, but today in 1995, the highest attended event in pro wrestling history took place, allegedly.
What was the turnstile count?
Oh boy, that's on the way next.
This is McGuire on Wrestling.
You gotta stream the alternate commentary table. Every single Saturday, it's brought to you on the McGuire on Wrestling feed. I'm one half of your host, Demetra Carolis, and I'm here with my partner, Mitch Hondris. Mitch, what is the alternate commentary table?
It's simple. It's the perspective of wrestling from the other side of the railing, the real fans.
That's right, the perspective that you need. You might have a little bit of fun, too. The alternate commentary table. Subscribe free now to the McGuire on Wrestling podcast feed wherever you get your podcast.
Cha-cha! Welcome back to McGuire on Wrestling.
On April 28th, 1995, WCW and New Japan Pro Wrestling teamed up to present a pay-per-view called The Collision in Korea. Now, you probably have heard this name recently because of all the attention that AEW All In got for setting the attendance record for any one-day pro wrestling event. I'm not getting in. Nope. We're not. Okay? We're not. But The reason why this conversation comes up is because, according to the North Korean communist government at the time, they said that in front of allegedly 150,000 people on the first day and 190,000 the next, the collision in Korea, in Pyongyang, North Korea, was headlined by Antonio Inoki and Nature Boy Ric Flair.
Ric Flair. Antonio Inoki. Two of the greatest international superstars in a worldwide wrestling extravaganza. For the first time ever on pay-per-view, it's a spectacular one-time global event. Collision in Korea.
It's time for the Wrestling Observer Insider with Dave Meltzer, McGuire on Wrestling.
Well, an interesting week in some ways, very uninteresting in others in wrestling. Here to talk all about it is Dave Meltzer from the Wrestling Observer and WrestlingObserver.com. Dave, I want to give a shout out to you. Some folks on our Facebook page sending some praise and thank you for being a part of this show now. We've been doing it for over a year together now this way. So thanks again for being here. I always appreciate your contribution.
Oh, yeah. Cool. Yeah, I always enjoy it.
All right. Let's get down to business here. One thing I didn't put in our notes here, but I wanted to get an update from you on if you've heard anything other than what's kind of been making the rounds. MJF reportedly getting a shoulder surgery. Do we know if this is confirmed? Because there's been a few sites that have reported it, but we haven't seen anything concrete from him, obviously.
I can't confirm it. I'm not surprised. If it's true, it wouldn't surprise me. If it's not true, it wouldn't surprise me. What I do know is that, you know, when he first was injured, he didn't want to have surgery.
Right.
But it was going to be I thought he should have, just because in my mind, surgery would have kept him out of action much longer. But to me, it's not about like this, you know, a couple months this year. He's a young guy. It's about your whole career. And the surgery was a better option. But I don't know what's happened.
Fair enough. I just wanted, because that kind of came down over the last couple of days here. And I thought maybe you might have heard something, maybe not. But let's get down to business here. Some of the things that have gone on this week. Another guy whose shoulder was in question. And some people were worried about Cody's shoulder from this past Friday on SmackDown.
When he landed wrong in the way he was shaking it out. Yeah. I haven't heard anything new on it, but
okay.
I will ask. I saw the show.
Yeah.
I can ask around though. I could probably find that out today pretty easily. Yeah.
Fair enough. I mean, they got that big pay-per-view coming up in France, which he's of course main eventing. Well,
bigger than that, he's the star of the show.
Well, that is the other thing too. He's kind of the guy right now. So
it's more than just this pay-per-view. I mean, they're counting on him to carry the company. I mean, yeah.
The WWE draft, a lot of fans are saying, kind of a popcorn fart when it came to a draft this year. Is this a necessary evil, though, of this thing?
It's not a necessary evil. They just decided that they like where everything is, and they're doing. I think they did a draft show because they knew, you know, that with all the competition that the ratings would be down, so they were looking for something to keep the ratings up, but they weren't looking to move too many people. Yeah, it wasn't. I mean, I was watching it going like, man, this isn't much. I mean, you know, all the top guys, all the champions were locked to begin with. So it's very minor changes, but business is good. So, you know, there's no reason to make big changes, but I guess people expected big changes, but from the draft, but you know, the draft, you always were changing champions. And when they announced beforehand that they weren't going to, it kind of was like, okay, they're going to have minor cosmetic changes, but not a whole hell of a lot.
It's going to make Raw an awfully long show if something exciting doesn't happen on Monday. But, I mean, that's, again, sometimes the way these things go. Drew McIntyre, it was announced late last night by The Rock. This is kind of an interesting move. The Rock on his Instagram announcing that Drew McIntyre has, in fact, re-signed with WWE. There were a lot of eyes on this. Nothing officially had ever come out until now. But there were different discussions. I remember you saying once that they were way far apart on money at a time.
That was before this gimmick even started.
Right.
You know? Yeah. I don't know the figure. I'll probably try to get it. But my gut is that, you know, I mean, if you look at the value of different people, you know, he should be, who would you say? Like Cody Rhodes is clearly number one and, you know, Roman's out of action. So Cody Rhodes should be the highest paid of the guys that are full time. Randy Orton has a good contract, you know, just because he's Randy Orton. Aside from that, I mean, you could maybe Seth, you know, who by the way is not one of the top because he hasn't signed his new deal, but Seth will be right near the top, you know, I think with the new deal. But the point is like him and Seth should be right there battling for the number three spot. I mean, as far as highest paid in the entire company.
Well, I think this last few months, especially with Punk going out due to injury, I mean, Drew has really upped his real estate. And I think that might be a sign of just the changes from the Levesque era coming in, because it seems to be they're really hitching a lot of wagons to this horse.
A lot of this was Drew. You know,
yeah, that's what I mean.
This gimmick was Drew copying Bret Hart in 1997. That's what the impetus of this was. It wasn't somebody else's creative. This was his creative.
Hmm.
And, you know, he made himself into a more marketable guy at a time when his contract was coming due. So it worked out well. I mean, he would have gotten on the open market. I mean, he would have gotten a ton. So I'm sure he got a ton. I know it was a 3-year deal, which is good because for him, because the shorter the time frame, the better off you are, because then puts you into free agency again. And if AEW gets the TV deal that they are hoping to get, that means that they would have far more money to spend on top talent in 3 years. And you go through this again, and you could probably become, you know, at that point, maybe the second highest paid guy. But whatever, he should be right near the top as far as paid if he got what he was worth. But I don't know his number right now. But I know it's 3 years, and you know, he was in a great negotiating position, especially with the Punk stuff. I never expected he was leaving, though. You know, even back when people were talking, his mentality at that time was, if he wasn't happy, he was just going to go home for 6 months and then, you know, then maybe take offers, because he was very much looking at going home.
Right.
And the deal was, it's like, this isn't for his career. This isn't the time to go home. He's too hot. If he wasn't hot, you know, that changed the equation.
Well, he's definitely seen a resurgence, because he was kind of floundering there for a bit, and it made perfect sense that if he was going to go away, that would be the time to do it. But he's really put a lot of equity in himself now, and good for him. I mean, if nothing else, we know he got a sword. I mean, that was part of the deal. So. If you haven't seen the video yet, it's up on our Facebook page, the Instagram, of The Rock having a sword delivered to him as part of a congratulations. So I don't even know what the deal with the sword was, but apparently it was a little inside thing they had going on. So good for him. Let's move forward now to AEW. Tony Khan announcing on Collision last night that he is not going to be on the road in control of TV. Now, is this just to further the whole EVP storyline, or is Tony legit pulling himself off the road for now?
I don't know. He's never missed a taping, so it could just be something for a storyline where, you know, obviously he's not hurt. It's hard for me to imagine him not going, but he might do it. You know, he can work remote. He might do that to sell the angle. But on TV, clearly he's not going to be on TV, and they're going to go with the idea that the Young Bucks are in charge, and that's going to be their TV storyline. So I don't know that he's going. I don't know that he's not going. It's not imperative, but God, he's never missed before. It would be kind of strange.
We'll talk a little bit more about Mr. Khan in a few minutes here, but I do want to talk about another guy who's going to be on TV this week in Winnipeg, his hometown. It was announced that Kenny Omega is returning to AEW. This is shocking to a lot of people, allegedly, according to Kenny himself, too. Word was he was surprised he was going this week, but well, what do we know about his return to Winnipeg?
I've known for months that they wanted him on this show just to make an appearance, because it's Winnipeg, you know, because and everything. So,
right.
I don't know. They may not have told him that, but I mean, it was only logical. I know they wanted him originally in Toronto, but it just wasn't the right time. You know, it's a storyline. He's not going to be able to wrestle for probably quite a while, but it's all hands on deck. They're negotiating for a new contract. Their ratings aren't as good as they used to be. Hopefully it's a good storyline. That's all I could say. Hopefully it make it something that's worth it.
Is an evil authority figure storyline the right way to go for AEW?
Not long-term. If it's for one show or two shows, then it's not so bad. But for long-term, no. I think that's been played out.
That does seem to be where they're going right now with this whole EVP and Jack Perry situation.
But. Well, I mean, it's, as far as a feud for power, that's fine. But as far as, like, you know, heel general manager thing, long term, we've seen that for 20 years. I don't think that's a good idea.
All right, another story that just broke recently, TNA Rebellion reportedly only getting 500 pay-per-view buys?
That's on television. You know, that's not including streaming.
Okay.
I mean, the only thing that's remarkable is that they did over 20,000 for Hard to Kill. So it's a big drop.
Yeah, big drop to say the least. But I don't know that. I mean, I guess the argument could be made that it depends on consumption, right? I mean, like, a lot of people will stream to devices these days or have online accounts.
Yeah, but that has it changed since January 13th?
Yeah, I don't think that much.
I mean, this is not an insignificant story in comparison, because if this is what they were getting every pay-per-view, then it's like, okay, this is what they're getting. They had a remarkable pay-per-view number for January 13th, and they had a very unremarkable number for April 20th.
Okay. I hate this, but I got to bring it up. Tony Khan on the NFL Network, we saw him in his neck brace, selling the injury, the classic spongy neck brace, which I loved. I kind of wished he would have come out with the whole halo and the shoulder pad thing. Like, you know, like he really got messed up, but whatever. He's doing the neck brace thing. He's selling the injury. Then he gets to the section where he's being interviewed by a couple guys on the panel there. And he makes the comparison of AEW being the Pepsi to WWE being the Harvey Weinstein of pro wrestling. Now, I know, I can automatically say, well, Vince has said some awful things. Well, Triple H has said some questionable things. I don't know that that comparison has ever been made in a public forum before by either of those guys, though. Was this a good move, or is this just Tony being Tony?
The one that's the worst is there, Vince doing those skits where they try to portray Ted Turner as having a drug issue and mental breakdowns and things like that was pretty low. This one is probably yes and no. I mean, look, there's a lawsuit out that makes Vince McMahon look like Harvey Weinstein, and the company's also being sued. I did not like that was done, so I'll just say I didn't like it. It's a wrestling war. People have done the same, which doesn't justify it. But, you know.
That's what I'm wondering, though. Like, in my head, and several other fans' heads. This was a chance for Tony to just celebrate AEW and talk about what great things they got going on.
Okay, but guess what? That was a 4-minute clip, and he spent 5 seconds on that. And the other stuff was, for, you know, doing his angle and explaining his angle and telling people he plugged his shows. Could he have, in those 5 seconds, mentioned, by the way, we just got a new world champion, Swerve Strickland? Yeah, sure, could have. But it wasn't like he went on there and all he did was talk about WWE. He talked, that was a very small part of the clip.
Well, I get that, but they also cut him off. They also stopped him. They said, okay, Tony, let's move on. How's the prognosis?
That's true. That's true. But at the same time, you know, they've all, you know, I mean, the host was the next thing they were doing was plugging him, putting the neck brace up for charity. So it's not like they were, and that was the next day. So I didn't like that they were unhappy. They liked the attention. So it wasn't a negative as far as the NFL Network goes. I wouldn't have done it, though. I mean, if he would have said Vince McMahon, the founder of the company, if he said the founder of the company, the guy who built the company is Harvey Weinstein, I could not argue that. You can't argue it. You can't. That's a very fair thing. Saying the company, you can justify it by saying the company's also in the lawsuit. The company has a track record going back decades. You can say that, but I wouldn't have. If he said about Vince, though, I would, it's fair game. They've said stuff about him, and they planted stuff about him pretty much, I wouldn't say as bad, but pretty close. So it's not like, it's not a one-sided war. They're both.
I'm not saying that, but this is the side that was broadcast on, you know, a national network and, you know, fans of millions of people who are watching this thing. I mean, to me.
Well, yeah, I know. Vince McMahon paid actors. He did skit after skit on his own television, minutes and minutes.
I know he did.
And this was 5 seconds.
I know.
I mean, it's like, this is what a wrestling war is. If you don't like it, that's very fair. If you liked it when WWE did it and you don't like it here, or vice versa, if you like it here and didn't like when WWE did it, then you're playing sides. To me, it's like, I didn't like it. I didn't like when WWE did it. Okay. But I recognize this is a wrestling war and this is what's been done in wrestling forever. And the Weinstein comment, if he'd said, like I said, if he said about Vince, can't argue it because there's a lawsuit out and, you know, and not only that, it's topical because the lawsuit was big in the news this week. The company itself, I thought was, I didn't like that. I'll just say that. But
well, and that's where I think the problem that I have with this is that then you're saying WWE, the entirety, the company, the people on TV, the people in the office, they're all as bad as Harvey Weinstein. And
no, you're saying the company is. You're not saying the people in the company. You're saying the company is.
Okay, but what's the company made of, Dave?
The company, well, look, but here's it. What is the company's track record over the last, you know, years? the Ashley Massaro story, the Jimmy Snuka story, the, you know, I mean, we got 40 years of this stuff. You know, you can't like, you know, I mean, again, I'm not defending it. But
I'm not on either side.
I have heard from enough AEW fans this week when I said that I didn't like it with argument after argument, and I cannot refute those arguments. I cannot refute 40 years of stuff and saying WWE and Vince McMahon and WWE until very recently were synonymous in the same thing. They are not right now. But everyone in charge also was people who were hired and taught by Vince McMahon. So it is Vince. It is still Vince McMahon's DNA is all over this company. And the company is in a lawsuit. Okay. But again, I didn't like it. I'm just saying.
Okay. All right. Let's go back to talking about wrestling here, because frankly, that's a lot more fun here. Backlash in France this weekend here. Is this going to be another one of these international shows that kind of feel like a broadcast house show, or do you expect maybe they're going to try and do any major storyline changes here?
It feels like this is just, you know, a 3-hour entertaining show.
Mm-hmm.
I don't expect like a, I mean, they could always do a monumental angle, but I don't know where. I think AJ and Cody is, which is interesting. I think AJ and Cody is a match basically out there to have a really, really good world title match in the main event. And AJ's there, you know, AJ's not, you know, I don't think anyone in the world thinks AJ's going to win. And that's fine too. But I think that that's what it's there for. And it's cool. You know, it's like, I'm not going to complain that they go out there and they could have picked somebody else, but they picked the guy to have the best match rather than the guy who would draw the most viewers. That's an interesting thing. Vince would have not have done that. But again, with all your money guaranteed, why not do something to please the audience more than a match that would not please the audience as much, but might draw a few more eyeballs? And nothing wrong with that either. Trying to have great pro wrestling matches on your big shows is, to me, that should not be a negative.
Speaking of big matches, I haven't had a chance to talk to you about it since it happened, but Danielson, Ospreay being rated as the greatest North American wrestling match of all time. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I guess I do. I don't think I've ever seen a better match in North America. I mean, it's all subjective. I mean, it's certainly one of the greatest. The best I would have said before was probably what? Will Ospreay and Omega in Toronto. And I think this was a better match than that one. So I would say so. Yeah.
A couple other things here with Dave Meltzer before we wrap things up here. Dave, there was some more chatter about WrestleMania London this year. The mayoral candidate there saying that it's his goal to bring WrestleMania to London at some point here. Triple H put the tweet out saying, let's talk. We've talked about this before, the realistic possibility of WrestleMania happening in London. Now with Netflix getting involved next year and all these other possibilities happening. I mean, it's pretty solid that the next couple of years are already locked down for WrestleMania, but what do you think of this whole resurgence of discussion of WrestleMania in London?
Look, it's up to the city to give WWE the best deal possible. If the city of London gives them a big enough deal, they'll go, and there's no reason not to. They can go there. They'll sell out both nights, but they'll sell out both nights in a lot of places. They're going to go with who pays them the highest site fee. And if that's London, then they'll go to London. I know that they want to keep it in the United States or Canada. There's a lot of reasons for that. You can get Europeans to travel to WrestleMania in the United States. Mm-hmm. It's going to be much harder to get Americans to travel to London. Not that many won't, and not that they won't sell out. There's a lot of issues that make it, if all things are equal, if your choice is New York, Las Vegas, or London, then you're picking New York and Las Vegas. But any city that wants it bad enough that's going to give WWE enough money for it, they can get it, you know, because that's the bottom line is, you know, that's the TKO business, is getting as much money for these shows, whether it's UFC or WWE, and then that's where you go. You want money for the shows. UFC right now, you know, they're willing to do shows at the Apex unless you pay us money. And then we'll come to your city. And you know what I mean? With WWE, it's the same thing. They want, you know, that's why pretty much their goal is to do all the B pay-per-views outside of North America, because they know they can get more money internationally. But they want to save the big ones for the North American market. So they air in prime time and, you know, things like that. Because obviously a London one, you're talking about a early afternoon show. But again, it's not impossible now.
All right, last question for you, Dave, here. Thank you, as always. But Brandon Thurston brought up an interesting point when everybody was talking about Vince's stock finally going up for sale, is that Nick Khan also had his remaining TKO stock up for sale. Now, Brandon Thurston over at WrestleNomics, bringing up the Knicks deal is up at the end of August this year. Is that something that correlates between the two there? Or, I mean, is there any sign that Nick Khan is doing this for any other reason other than, hey, it's a nice payday?
No, I mean, he made this decision in September, but I don't see one as having anything to do with the other. Nick's continually getting new stock. It's not like he's selling all of it. He's selling his stock now, but he gets new stock every year. So maybe he wants to just diversify and not have all of his money in one place. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, I mean, I mean, I've known about this for a while, that he was selling all the stock, wrote about it weeks ago. It's not a big deal to me at all. You know, it's just, you know, the Vince thing is a bigger deal because Vince is selling all the stock and that pretty much exits Vince from the company. Nick's position isn't, Nick's position was never a major stockholder. He's got a lot of, he's got $23 million worth of stock. It's considerable, but it's not like it's a large percentage of the company like Vince McMahon has.
And if he's got a new deal that could be up for renewal here in August, I mean, who says that? $24 million.
he's going to get a great new deal. He's been an incredibly valuable person of the company.
Well, there you have it. All right. Well, it's been a busy and interesting business week, Dave, for people that are picking up the Observer this week or want to subscribe at WrestlingObserver.com. What can they read about?
Lots and lots on the Vince stuff. You know, I spent all week working on that one. Not just all the legal stuff that's going on and this back and forth by the lawyers, but we also had a lot on, you know, basically what Vince is going to do next or wants to do next, what his goals are. You know, what does Vince want out of all this? And it's very difficult. You know, he's in a very difficult mountain to climb. And I'm not trying to be sympathetic to him, believe me, I'm not. But that's just where he's coming from. And then talked about, obviously, all the business news from the AEW show, the TNA show, all over, Arena Mexico stuff. But it went basically covering everything all over the world.
Well, there's enough to cover. I mean, you're definitely busy. I know.
It was a giant issue this week on a week that I did not have time to do a giant issue, but I don't know how I finished it, but I did.
All the best to you, man, and we'll catch up again next week.
Okay, have a great week.
Coming up next, some of your thoughts on the WWE draft so far, what you might be looking forward to, and we're going to talk a little more about wrestlers on the microphone this week. CM Punk making it known that he's planning on coming back soon, and more on the Tony Khan comments.
This is McGuire on Wrestling. Welcome back to McGuire on Wrestling.
There has not been a challenger brand that has gained as much market share as AEW. In many, many, many years, we are like the Pepsi of pro wrestling.
Yeah.
And we're up against a really evil juggernaut. WWE is our competitor. That's who we're facing. AEW, like the Pepsi of pro wrestling. WWE is like the Harvey Weinstein of pro wrestling. And I'm really proud of what we do down here.
That was Tony Khan on the NFL Network this past week during the draft, sporting his neck brace. It's the clip that Dave and I talked about earlier in the show. But I wanted to delve into it a little more here. And before I go into it, for anybody that's going to get on the defense right away, if you're new to the show, I think everybody listening can vouch for me on one thing, and that is that I don't take sides. I will equally call out bad behavior on both sides. All right, whether you're an AEW fan, whether you're a WWE fan, if you're a wrestling fan, that's where I live. I like what I like, and I don't like what I don't like. And the show is called McGuire on Wrestling, so you're here for some of my take. With all due respect to Tony Khan and the great things that you and your company have done to advance careers, increase salaries, and get more eyes on more pro wrestling, Mr. Khan, with all due respect, can you please stop embarrassing wrestling fans? And what I'm saying is that whether you're a WWE fan, whether you're an AEW fan, tell me who benefits from you comparing your competition to a convicted rapist. The fact that I'm spending my Sunday afternoon even saying those words right now on a podcast that's supposed to be fun and talking about wrestling and talking about what we think is going to happen and what we hope might happen and who's getting better and who got hurt. Now we're delving into more morality in an immoral business. And I'm sorry, it's true. I get it. You want to play the underdog. You want to play the, hey, we got a real shot at taking down this big evil corporation. That's fine. That's fine. But when you start comparing your company to their company and you start bringing up incidents where there are real life victims, victims who are still recovering in some cases, victims who may never recover. Like, that's not what this is supposed to be about, man. Look, I'll be honest, I can go way more into the weeds on this, but that's not what we're here for. That's not what this show is about. So I'm going to leave it there. If you agree, let me know. If you disagree, let me know. Again, you know how to get a hold of me. I plug it enough here, but Team MOW, McGuire on Wrestling, the Facebook page is the best way to go and have the discourse, have the conversation. It's all free and it's all good. Now, I am not defending anything that WWE, Vince McMahon, Eric Bischoff, Jim Crockett, anybody else has done in the past. I'm talking about the right now. And if you're going to say you're going to be better than all them, then do it. Just be better. Let's move forward to something else that y'all had some thoughts on. And this is going back to TV. This is going back to what we see in pro wrestling. And that is the WWE draft. I asked you this week what your thoughts were after night one on SmackDown, where we saw not a ton of movement, three or four superstars, I think, changing brands, but it was a little less than when it came to past draft presentations. I mean, I still remember John Cena running out with the WWE Championship and that Spirit of St. Louis jersey. You remember? You know what I'm talking about, right? They made an action figure of it, for goodness sake. Anyway, that's how big of a deal the draft was at some points. Let's go through some of the comments here. Vince Bond, Vinny B, says, the presentation was pretty good. Aside from the cheesy war room stuff, not much movement to get excited about, and that's fair. I was just happy there weren't flying robots in the war rooms this year. Remember they did that a couple years ago between USA and Fox? Yeah. Our good pal Andy Evans says, a bit lackluster, was hoping for a champ swap and Cody back on Raw. Bar that night, one of the status quo hasn't really changed. Not overly excited about Raw. Martin says, no real movement happened, but I still have a few thoughts. I really hope that Kiana James' call-up won't end up being the death nail in her WWE career. This felt so random, and I fear she will get lost in the shuffle. I hope that Isla Dawn and Alba Fire being drafted to Raw means they'll actually get to do something, because I really loved what they were doing in NXT. Yeah, they were already on Raw, so that was kind of weird. But nevertheless, they're there again, and Bron Breakker should do well on Raw. But part of me would love to see the Wolf Dogs being reunited. Yeah, because Baron Corbin did get drafted to SmackDown in a supplemental draft that was announced on social media over the weekend. Sal just says the draft was very boring. Yeah, that's fair. And Randy is also on the Wolf Dogs train here. Says, I thought Braun and Corbin would be together on the same brand. They were really entertaining as the Wolf Dogs, but guess not. Yeah, well, there you go. I mean, again, this is one of those years, I think, where they're really trying to prove that they're drafting the generational talent. They're really trying to put a forefront. When Bianca Belair is your first draft pick, that tells me it's like, okay, this is where the veteran line starts, and everybody else that comes in is going to be newer or fresher or Sheamus. I don't know. I love Sheamus. What a guy's getting a bad rap. Anyway, another guy that took to the microphone this week, just after SmackDown, CM Punk spoke to the fans in attendance. Here's what he had to say about how his recovery is going.
My tricep is not 100% yet, but I am on track, and I promise soon I will be back, and I will be competing with all the big tough badasses backstage.
And other than that, friends, we're kind of in a holding pattern this week. I guess we'll see what the draft brings. We'll see what AEW in Winnipeg has to deliver this week. I'm always excited for these Canadian shows because they do try and do something different every time they come up here. Hey, if you are going to that show, if you are going to Edmonton, if you are going to be in Calgary, let me know. Reach out directly. I want to start bringing fan feedback segments with you actually talking on the show again. So we're going to start that. I've got a few calls out to people, but if you're going to AEW in Winnipeg this week, I want to hear from you. So drop me a line either on the Facebook page, McGuireShow@yahoo.com, whatever, and we'll bring you on the show to talk about your AEW experience in Winnipeg, Edmonton, and beyond. That's going to shut her down. I know a little early for this week, friends. It's a year of McGuire on Wrestling now. I want to thank you again, sincerely, from the bottom of my heart, for being here, for downloading this show, for telling your friends about it, and we got some great stuff coming up for you in year two, which starts now. Until next week, As always, thank you for listening and letting me do what I do. Till then, play safe, drive safe. Happy seeing ya.